Good morning, church. Powerful song. Randy's been worried about his voice all morning long. Isn't God good? Thank you so very much for being here today. I appreciate your attendance, both members and visitors alike. Today, our purpose is to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that, we do celebrate that resurrection. And He is indeed the sinless Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the whole world. And the good news continues to be that for all those who know Him as Lord and Savior, we are forgiven. And heaven is going to be our home. If you brought the Word of God with you today this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20, and I want to read the first 10 verses of John chapter 20 for you today. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone rolled, taken away from the sepulchre. And then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and yet went he not in. And then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Would you join me as we pray? Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to be here today to share with these wonderful people, Father, the Word of God through singing and through praying and through teaching and through preaching. And Father, I thank you that you have given us this privilege to continually worship you corporately like this. We have this awesome privilege to do this out in the wide open, Father, unapologetically. And I thank you, Father, for each man and woman and girl and boy who has come here today. Lord, my prayer is that you would speak up close and personal to their hearts, to their minds. And Lord, decisions, eternal decisions, Lord, would be made here today. And I thank you for, Father, for each and every one. May we do that which is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, having been crucified and removed from the cross, is soon going to be buried, chapter 19, verse 34. Two men would come to get the body of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, chapter 19, verses 38 and 39. And they had requested that body from Pilate, and they were given permission to do that. And they take Jesus' body and they wrap it in linen clothes, and they apply a mixture of myrrh and aloes, a common practice when they were getting a body ready to be placed in a tomb. And he would be placed in a tomb, a new tomb, in a garden there. And then we pick up chapter 20, where I read the passage of Scripture, and it tells a great story for us. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb there. And what we know to be true is that she came very early, the Scripture says, while it was yet dark, she came. And she found the stone rolled away, and it was taken away from the sepulchre. And she didn't know exactly what to do, so she ran straight to Simon Peter and to John, and she told them, they've taken the body of Jesus out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. And Peter and John decided they would run over to the tomb. And the Scripture says that John had arrived first there. And what they saw was amazing to them. John stooped down and looking in, it says he saw the linen clothes lying, but he didn't go in the tomb itself. And then Peter got there and he went in and he saw the linen clothes lying there. And then John came back in and he saw that clothes that was there. And something special happened in John's life there. And we'll get to that in just a minute. What they really didn't know, according to the Scripture, was they didn't know that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. And I find that amazing because he told them many times, over and over and over again. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be placed in a grave. I'm going to spend 3 days there, and then I'm going to rise from the dead. And he was not quiet about teaching those that followed him about what was going to take place. And they went away to their own home, is what the passage of Scripture says. There are a lot of theories about whether or not Jesus really died. And I want to say with you unequivocally, Jesus really died. Absolutely died. When he said on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 30, when he said, "It is finished," that is exactly what he meant. And the great news there, brothers and sisters, is this: that everything that you and I would ever need for salvation, everything that we would ever need for forgiveness of our sins, everything that we would ever need to have a meaningful walk on this planet with the Lord Jesus Christ was fulfilled on that cross. And when he bowed his head and he gave up the spirit, he said, "It is finished." The great news is today, my brothers and sisters, we don't have to do a single thing because he did it all. He did everything we would need. The Bible goes on to say in Romans in chapter 19 that a Roman soldier pierced his side to make sure that he was dead. And it wasn't their first crucifixion. These men were professional soldiers. They knew exactly what to do. They knew how to do their job, and they did their job well. So when I share with you that I believe with all of my heart when the Bible says that it is finished, that Jesus absolutely died. He did not pass out and revive later in the cave or in the grave there. Nobody came and stole his body away. Our Lord gave his life for you and I. Some people would want you to believe that when they got there and realized that the stone was rolled away, they would want you to believe that that stone was rolled away so that Jesus could get out, that somehow, miraculously, he came back to life in the coolness of the cave, somehow, after having been beaten over and over, having been crucified on the cross, that he somehow managed to come back to life, and that that stone was rolled away so that Jesus could get out of that tomb and appear to the people that he later appeared to. And I don't believe that for a moment, because I believe when he was put in that tomb, Jesus was absolutely dead. And I believe that that stone was rolled away so that not only Mary Magdalene and those ladies that were with her could get in there, could see that the stone had been rolled away and the body was gone, but that John and Peter, who would later show up to verify what they had said, would be able to go into that cave there, that grave, and they would be able to see for themselves that he was not there. What we need to know, that the stone was rolled away so they could see for themselves that the tomb was really empty. Why was it empty? Because he was dead, and by the power of God, it was moved. And what we celebrate today is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I testify to you based on the Word of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And today we absolutely and totally celebrate that whole process. So what's in a word? I like to study words. I think that words are incredibly important, especially in the Word of God. And we're going to look at some words here in just a minute. But I'm reminded about the empty tomb story and the story about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a fellow who was on vacation in the Holy Land with his mother-in-law. Now, that sounds strange enough as it is, doesn't it? What guy goes on vacation with his mother-in-law? Now, if you're a mother-in-law out there, please don't take that personally, okay? But they're in Israel, they're in the Holy Land on vacation, and she gets sick all of a sudden, and for some reason, she passes away while they're on vacation. So the funeral people come, and they're talking to the guy, and they're talking to the son, and they say, "Listen, would you like for us to do the service here for you?" And he said, "No, I don't think so. I think I'm going to have her shipped back to the States." And the guy said, "Well, listen, we do great work. We do really, really good work. You have to understand, we're professionals. We can do work, and we can save you thousands of dollars because it's gonna cost a lot of money to ship your mother-in-law back to the States. So would you just let us go ahead and do that?" And he said, "No, I don't think so. I think I'd rather have her shipped back to the States." And he said, "Well, sir, I don't mean to be troublesome to you, but my boss man is going to want to know why in the world we couldn't do this. So would you be kind enough to at least let us know why why we can't do this? Because he's going to ask. I know he's going to ask. And I need to give him some kind of a legitimate reason why that's going to happen, why we can't do this for you. And he said, well, yeah, it's really kind of simple. He said, I read about a time a bunch of years ago where you guys had a fellow and you buried him. And 3 days later, he came back from the dead. And he said, and I'm not willing to take that risk. That's awful, ain't it? If you're a mother-in-law out there, please don't shoot me on the way out, okay? But think about that. Jesus indeed rose from the dead. But in this passage of Scripture, on a closer look, if you look down at verse 5, it says, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, but he didn't go in. That word saw, if you look down there, you'll realize that in verse 5 and in verse 6 and in verse 8, we get that word translated in English. It's saw or seeth. But the reality of the matter is, folks, is there's three different words used in these three verses. Three different words for the word saw. It makes all the difference in the world about what took place there at that tomb that day. You know, the first word is blepo in the Greek. And it means a casual glance. John arrives at the tomb and he stoops down and he gives the scene a casual glance. He just takes a quick look at the process. He didn't focus on anything. It's sort of like shopping to occupy time instead of shopping with an intent to purchase. You see a lot of things, but you don't focus on a lot. It's a lot like driving down the interstate. There's a lot of cars coming at you from the other side, and there's a lot of cars going with you, some before you, some behind you, some to your side, or either side if you're in the middle lane there. And you focus mostly on what's right in front of you, but not on everything else. That's what that word blepo means. It means a casual glance. John looked in there, and he gave it a quick look. He just stooped down and glanced at it. There's a second word there in verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie. That's a completely different word in the original language, and that word is thereo. We get our word theory from it, or theorize. It means a deep thinking, a careful, close look, an intense observation in order to try to understand. Peter went into the tomb, and he gave it a really close look. And he tried to put all the pieces together. I mean, it doesn't make sense to him. This is a tomb. It was sealed. And now there's no stone in front of the tomb. And there's no body inside the tomb. And the other Gospels help us to understand that what he saw there was a shell and a head wrap in different place. And it was almost like a mummy, like they had wound him up. And I looked in chapter 19. And if you look back in chapter 19, down in verse 40, it says, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So they wound him up almost like it was a mummy, and they applied the things that they wanted to apply to the body as they buried him there, put him in that grave. And Peter was sitting there, and he was in the tomb, and he was looking around. And the testimonies of the other Gospels say he couldn't put it all together. Luke chapter 24, verse 12 said, Peter wondered about that which had come to pass. And chapter 20, verse 9 that we're reading here said that he didn't know yet that the Scripture had said that Jesus must rise from the dead. So it was a matter of understanding for Peter when he looked in there. John just gave it a quick look. Peter wanted to figure it out. He wanted to understand. What is this that I'm seeing? But he didn't know as of yet, and he didn't understand. It just didn't register to Peter. And as I was putting this message together, some of you may have heard it again or before, because I preached somewhat of the same message last Easter. But I remember that there was a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and I believe it was Billy Sunday, and he preached that message over 500 times in his life, and thousands of souls were saved because of the power of that one message. So having preached this last year, I felt led to preach it again. We're so much like both Peter and John. Sometimes when it comes to the things about our spiritual lives, we just give Jesus a glance. We get little bits and pieces of the truth. And rather than maybe have a moment where we would want to try to figure all that out so that we could make an educated decision about what we would do with this person called Jesus, oftentimes we give it a glance and it doesn't really register. And we don't have a real goal or a real desire to find out any more about that. We go about our way. And I find that kind of sad, to be honest with you. It's a lot like my life for a long time. I had many opportunities, many opportunities to hear the gospel. I was taken to church whether I wanted to go or not when I was a child. I sat before the preaching of the Word of God enough to save the entire world 1,000 times over. I heard this story and other stories over the years, but if I was completely and totally honest with you, it went right by me as if it really did not matter. I was there because I was made to be there, and I didn't want to be there, and I wasn't interested in what was being said. I could have cared less what the truth of the Word of God was. And I sat there and listened a little and ignored a lot. And I pray this morning that you hear my heart, not just my voice. That empty tomb, my friends, was for you and me as well. John would make a second trip in. He would look, and it would be a changing look. If you look at verse 8, it says, "Then went in also that other disciple," and that means John, "which came first to the sepulchre." And it says, "And he saw and believed." And here the word "saw" again, although we get it just like that in English, it's a different word. There's a third word in this passage, and it's oida. And it means to form a mental perception, to understand, to realize in the mind what had taken place here. John's first look was a casual glance. Peter's look was a determination to understand. John's look was the final piece of the puzzle that he needed to understand finally what Jesus and his life was and had been all about. And he began to have this mental perception. He began to have this real understanding that took place in his mind. And John sees all of it now. He sees it exceedingly clear. And he begins to do something that I believe that we all need to do. And if you have not done that yet, may I encourage you. John sees it all. And the word in the last word in that verse is, "and believed." What did he believe? He believed that Jesus was who he said he was. That Jesus was indeed the sinless Lamb of God that was offered and sacrificed up for the sins of the whole world. He believed that what Jesus had taught him was absolutely real. That it was the gospel truth. That Jesus said, "These are the things that are going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be falsely accused. I'm going to be imprisoned. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to go to a cross. And there I'm going to be hung up on that cross. And I'm going to die for the sins of the whole world. And then I'm going to be buried. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again." And church, that's what we celebrate today. And if all of that doesn't happen, then that makes this Word of God irrelevant. If all of that didn't happen, what we hang our faith on as Christians did not happen, and it doesn't mean anything. But I say to you this morning, what we celebrate as brothers and sisters in the Lord is that this Word of God said it did happen, and I believe that it happened with every fiber of my being. And I'm asking you today, will you be like John? Will you put the pieces together? Will you completely understand? Will it matter to you this morning that you know, that you know, that you know that if you didn't make it home today, that you would spend your eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven because of the price that he paid? Why is it so important to speak these words today? Because I believe that we're so, that it's much the same today as it was then. Not everyone in that crowd that morning cared about Jesus. Not everyone who would hear the story of the empty tomb would go home changed and different because they knew the truth. And I believe today that some of you as well, and please, like I said, please hear my heart. I am not judging you. I am not qualified to be your judge. I don't want to be your judge. I couldn't be if I wanted to be your judge. But the testimony of the Word of God is as real as it gets. Some of you may be here today and you really didn't want to. Some of you may be here today and you'll hear the truth of the Word of God, not only sung, but you'll hear it preached this morning. And I believe that some of you, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and it will knock on your heart's door and it will remind you that the words that you have heard here today are absolutely true, that these words have eternal implications for you as well as for me, and that we would need to choose Jesus today. We need to choose him. I want you to have what we've been studying, what we would call an aha moment. It's a wake-up call. It's a moment when maybe everything that you've heard over your lifetime has been just something that you have glanced at. And you've heard it, but it didn't really hit where you live. It didn't really strike a nerve in you. It didn't really change your heart or change your mind. And I would pray more than anything else that you would have that aha moment today. For some of you, that might be a salvation moment, where maybe for the first time ever in your lifetime, you might just get real and say, "Brother Kenny, yeah, if I died today, I really don't know where I'm going to spend my eternity." We can nail that down right here today. And I certainly would hope that that would be important to you. Like I said, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not judging you. Because the fact of the matter is I did the same thing for a long time. Long time. And I thank God that I finally put it together. I thank God that I stopped fighting it. I thank God that I finally realized, you know what, Kenny? You can't do this on your own. You're not the perfect sacrifice that God requires. Only Jesus was that perfect sinless lamb. And I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I sat there with my hands glued to the back of the pew, and I believe if Berea Baptist Church still had the old pews that they had when I was there in the late 1970s, oh my goodness, I'm pretty sure that it would have my fingernails dug into some of the pews there, because I fought it with every ounce of my being because I did not want to hear it. I didn't want anybody to speak the truth in my ears. I was happy the way I was. That's what I thought. But in reality, folks, I was empty. There was a God-shaped place in my life that wasn't filled. And I just gave Jesus a casual glance. And I assure you, my friends, that if that's all he gets from you today, tomorrow, into your future, what was given and sacrificed for you will never mean what it's designed to mean. My prayer for you is that when you look into that empty tomb, you will maybe for the first time realize you'll have an oida moment, where you're going to begin to put together what you know down deep in your heart is absolutely true, that Jesus was the sacrifice for your sins, and that knowing him as your Savior is the very most important decision that you make. And see, that's why you and I can celebrate as Christians today. Yes. Amen. That's it. given more than a casual glance. Many of you came here today to celebrate a risen Savior, the giver of life, the conqueror of death. Oh, celebrate on, my brothers and sisters. He is risen from the dead. We can celebrate on. We need to celebrate on. It's the most important day for you and I as Christians. And we ought to celebrate. We ought to shout. We ought to please God with our faith and our worship. Some of you don't feel that way, and I understand that. My prayer is that before you leave here today, you will also be able to celebrate an empty tomb. You can't celebrate because Jesus is not your Savior. So an empty tomb is not going to mean much to you. A cross is not going to mean much to you. A tomb or a resurrection, they were all for us. I'd like to say to you, without any apology, God is an absolutely awesome God. He is a loving God. He is a forgiving God. He is an understanding God. He is a long-suffering God. He is a graceful God. He is a merciful God. He is a truthful God. And everything that Jesus Christ did, He did that so that those of us, which means all of us, who could not save ourselves, would have that privilege. That empty tomb, my friends, is for you and me. And I would ask you up close and personal, from my heart, do you know Him? Did you see today, maybe, for the first time? Did the light come on? Did you have an aha moment, a moment of reality where you just got real with yourself and real with your Heavenly Father? And if you had to say it today, would you be able to say that if I died today, I would go home to be with my Lord Jesus in heaven eternally? If you can't say that, my friends, I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to see the light today. I'm going to ask you to take a close look, to make it happen in your mind, to have an oida moment, to go along with your aha moment when the Spirit of God makes it real to you. And you would be willing to say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I accept and I believe everything that you did. I confess my sins to you. That's the number one reason why we have church, my friend, is to make sure that you would know Him personally. And today, as Christians, we get to celebrate, and I sure hope that you get to celebrate today. We're going to give you something when you leave here today. We're going to give you a flashlight. It's not just any flashlight. It's a really good flashlight. It's going to be given to you, and I want you to do something with that flashlight. I want you to turn it on and ask yourself, do I really see at this level? Or am I just satisfied to give Him a casual glance? I pray that not a single person leaves here lost today. I pray that you can celebrate the empty tomb because you know Him as your Lord and Savior. And I want to thank you for being here. You could have picked any place to go to church today, but you picked here. And I want you to know that I'm grateful that you did. I thank you for coming and being a part of us today. And I would say this, do you realize that for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that every Sunday's Easter, that the tomb is still empty next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, and every Sunday that's going to happen until He comes back to get us? So please come and be a part of this church. Come and bless us with your presence. Come and worship with us as we celebrate a risen Savior who's not ever going to be in a grave again. Would you do that? Whatever the Spirit of God is asking you to do today, that's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you so much for every single person that's here today. Lord, there's not a single person in this building that's here by coincidence. Every person in this building, Lord, is here by divine appointment. They're here with an opportunity to have a life-changing, eternity-changing moment. And Father, I pray that if there are those, Lord, who are lost, that the empty tomb means little or nothing, because you're not their Savior. God, I pray that today would be the day. Maybe there's some Christians here, Father, who realize that they're walking in a wayward way. They've stepped away from you, that you're not that important in their life any longer. Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak to them, that they might be convicted in such a way that in the days and the weeks to come, their lives would be changed, that they would find their way back to be involved and invested in a local church. And Father, we thank you so much for loving us like you do, like you always have. And we thank you, Jesus, for paying the price that we could not pay and rising from the dead so that we can celebrate today. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you are, for everything that you do. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much. And we celebrate that today. May you have your way, Lord, in this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?